you're not grading today, but there are a lot of people. They've called my station. They've talked to everybody here. They say the grades are poor. One man said piss poor is the word. What do you say to that?
I say that we are going to gather not only the data that the companies file, but every comment that comes into this agency, I read it. Every email we get, every letter we get, and anything that comes to the governor's office is, that has anything to do with energy is always directed to us anyway. We read those. We use those comments. We use those concerns as ways to identify issues and problems that we need to press the utility companies on. So at this point, I understand the gentleman's frustration. I share it. Everybody shares it. Nobody is happy until all the power is back on. But we don't, at this point, have the data to grade fairly the performance one way or the other.
So you just tell them to be patient? Just wait till the power gets back on?
You know, what I want to make sure people understand is they need to be safe. They need to keep in contact with their utility company. I mean, that doesn't help to call every 2 minutes, but you should keep in contact with them every day. As we get deeper into this restoration, and as the companies assign crews to individual jobs in individual areas, a customer will get an individualized estimated restoration time. So if they've assigned a crew to you today, if you call the phone number or have the ability to get to the website, they will tell you you will be restored today. Now, that's obviously a projection, but the projections are getting more granular at this point in the restoration. So I would tell people to stay in touch with their electric company, do what they need to do to stay safe and to stay cool, and know that we're pushing as hard to get this restored as fast as we can. Dave, you're going to be next, but I want to make sure everybody understands that if you want this, we're streaming this as well as whatever else you guys are doing. If you want it to be heard on our stream, you've got to get to one of our microphones. If you're not worried about that, then that's fine. Shout it out. Dave's going to be next. Then.
Mr. Chairman, are there any Maryland studies on the pros and cons of underground power lines? And would you highlight your knowledge on this issue?
There was a study. The General Assembly created a task force back in 2003 to study undergrounding. That study concluded that there are a lot of aesthetic benefits to undergrounding and that underground transmission lines are, in fact, more insulated from this sort of weather event than overhead lines are. That's common sense, but it's also borne out in any review of it. The problem is that the system we have has been built over a long period of time. A significant part of it is not underground. To retroactively underground it was predicted in that study to cost many hundreds of millions, possibly billions of dollars. It wasn't expressed in one big lump like that, but the way they did express it was to say that it would cost somewhere between $340 and $415 per customer per year and take 15 to 20 years to retroactively underground the electric system in this state. Now, that was in a report that was issued in 2003. I don't want to vouch for those numbers, but you get the idea. It's a very expensive proposition. There also are some challenges that come with undergrounding. Once the lines are underground, you have to dig them up in order to fix them. If anything does go wrong, that's probably not something that everybody would be anxious to have happen, even if they had underground lines. It is the case that when new housing developments, new construction goes in, those lines are required to be undergrounded, and so we have portions of the state that are underground. And it is also true that both BGE and Pepco's ongoing reliability improvement plans look at selective undergrounding as a possible solution in areas where it makes sense and where it can be done in a reasonably cost-effective way. So we have not studied it comprehensively since the 2003 report. I know there has been some renewed interest in that, and we'll address that as it goes on. But that's the data we have.
Do you know what BGE's reliability rating is when compared against other utilities nationally?
No, I don't. I mean, this is a challenge. There is no uniform method of evaluating reliability performance. There are statistics that are commonly understood across the industry and across the regulatory world, and you can look at those statistics. And in fact, we've gotten those from the companies for years. But utility territories are different enough. Their terrain is different. The makeup is different. The percentage, for example, of underground versus versus above ground plant can be very different. So side-by-side comparisons are difficult to make in any statistically, intellectually honest way. Now, what we do know is that companies themselves often participate in surveys among groups of what they consider to be like-minded or similarly situated utility companies. And we have, in recent years, gotten access to some of those surveys. They're usually proprietary, and companies pay to participate in them, so they're not publicly available. But we have gotten access to some of them in the course of proceedings we've had, particularly with regard to Pepco. And we did learn a couple of years ago that Pepco's performance in those proprietary surveys was in the lower quarter. But what we've done in response to learning about that is established regulations that set objective standards for utility performance, both on a systemic basis and in response to storms. So we've gotten around the concern, and we've solved the concern that some have had that these utilities were being viewed only against their own performance year over year, and replace that with regulations that require objectively high levels of performance that are only going to escalate over time. So that's how we've addressed that.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah, who's next?
Scott Broom with 9 News down in Washington. Pepco is about to get a rate increase decision, and a lot of people are wondering, well, does reliability factor into when you all make decisions about rate increases, and will reliability factor into this decision that's coming up July 13th?
Well, I need to be very careful. The rate case is a pending case, and I can't talk about what's going to happen or not going to happen in that case. But in response to your question, let me say this. Reliability performance and the spending that the companies have engaged in to ensure reliability, both the plant that they've closed and their projected reliability expenses, are all things that we take into account in every rate case. So we look very carefully at what they've spent during the test period that's at issue. We look to see whether that's enough. In most cases, the companies have asked not only for us to consider what was spent during the test year, but for areas where they project additional expenses related to safety or reliability outside the test year. It varies case to case, but we have been, I would say, generous in ensuring the right amount of reliability-oriented spending for these companies over the last few years. Beyond that, I can't really talk about what's going to happen or not going to happen in the Pepco rate case. But we are definitely focused on ensuring that the rates reflect a recovery that allows the companies to provide a reliable system in a cost-effective way.
Well, let me ask a follow-up in this way. Can you think of a case in the past where reliability has been a significant discussion point in your rate discussions?
Sure.
I'm not sure what those discussions would be, but I'm just really curious about how you all talk about reliability when it comes down to rubber meeting the road and what people pay.
Well, I mean, it's been an issue in every rate case we've ever decided. The way it comes up in a rate case, and I can go as deep as you want into rate making, but it's not probably going to make a good, exciting bit for your... Yeah. So the way rate cases work is companies, they ask for a certain amount of revenue to be reflected in the rates. At least in my time here, they can always ask for the revenue to be reduced, but in my time here, when they have come in for a rate request, they've asked for rates to go up. It's not as simple as we would like this much more money. What they have to file an incredible amount of detailed financial and operational information, and we break it down into all the different categories of the company's operations. Safety and reliability spending, it takes a number of different forms, but no matter what the company, electric company, gas company, water company, those expenses are examined in detail. And the purpose of examining them that way is to see what the companies are spending, and we do gauge that against their reliability performance to see whether what they're spending is adequate. We look at what they've asked for. We look at what reliability and safety-oriented spending they did during the time period we're examining and what they have planned coming up. And then we set rates to cover what we think is the appropriate, I mean, among the many, 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 many other things that go into setting rates, reliability and safety spending is a key focus.